George Kanishik is a senior lecturer in the School of Education and a researcher at the Institute of Culture and Society at the University of Western Sydney, and he's been casting a critical eye over the whole Olympic phenomenon. Good morning, George.
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks very much for your time. I wanted to go back to something that you wrote last December. Now, that might seem like an age ago, but you wrote something that about something that I'd really never heard of. It's called the Ten Commandments of the 2016 Rio Olympics. Can you tell us a little bit about these Ten Commandments?
Well, on that time, there was another president in Brazil, Dilma Rousseff, who is now facing, she's temporarily away of her office and facing an impeachment process, which looks like more a soft coup d'etat. But on that time, they were really engaged with the Olympics and to make it a very clear and with a very important social legacy event. So that was what was about the Ten Commandments. It was something like, something that is unachievable because the Olympics are dominated for all these corporate transnational forces, which kind of block any social and educational progress. So the Ten Commandments and the legacy are more a fantasy than a reality.
And what were some of the commandments that they? I'm just having a picture in my own mind of perhaps Moses walking down the that great mountain in Rio de Janeiro with his Ten Commandments.
That's interesting. That's something that they planned, but it's, as I said, it's just unachievable because the big forces they don't allow the social progress go ahead in Rio, like leave a legacy for the entire population of the city. This was the umbrella that all the Olympics should be, but in fact the legacy is just for the wealthy party of the city. It's like the most part of the, like the Olympic Village and the subway and all the reforms and redesigns of the city are in the wealthy part, one of the wealthiest parts of the city, which is Barra da Tijuca. It's like in Sydney, you're doing more good things for Bondi, which is already a very wealthy part, instead of improving parts like Blacktown or Western Sydney, where there are much more needed of public transport and public services.
The other thing you wrote about it, and also I found very interesting in that article, is what you called the Rio state government's pacification of the favelas. Can you talk about a little bit about this?
Well, the pacification of the favelas is a program that is ongoing since Rio was announced as host of these Olympics. And at the end of the day, it's a militarization of the favelas because the military police goes there and keeps taking off the favela citizens the right. It was meant to be followed, like they would be taking off the drug gangs. They would be replacing the drugs war first by the police and secondly by public services like education and health services. But these services are yet to come.
Yes.
And at the moment, the favelas are under military law, martial law, because of the Olympics. So not only the military police, but the army. The army is there, and it's very, very tough for the citizens, for the favela citizens to leave.
The interesting thing, I guess, that I'm getting out of this, and these are the things that sort of make me very disturbed about, is, in fact, what I would describe as the militarization of these kinds of mega events. And I guess you could call, using big terms here, the securitization of Rio, where they've virtually had to raise an army of 85,000 people to basically patrol the streets and keep the peace.
Yeah, moreover, what I think is happening with this militarization, first is the criminalization of any social movement and any political protest. I was just talking to someone in Brazil, and they said, well, the opening ceremony, as everywhere people are protesting against the interim president, they are saying Fora Temer, which means Temer, go away. Temer is the interim president who is taking this coup d'etat, who is leading this coup d'etat against the elected president Dilma. And I was just talking to them saying, well, they have ordered that anyone who says Temer, go away in the opening ceremony to be thrown in jail. I think there will be no space in any jail because everybody is saying that.
This is in the actual ceremony in the stadium. Is that right? Or
yes, in the stadium, where there are many plans to say that everybody will be saying Temer, go away, because everybody is saying this anywhere. And of course, the main broadcaster who are involved in the coup d'etat as well, they just don't show these images, but it's anywhere in social media. Even yesterday, there was the first matches of the football, the Olympic football competition, and there were people with jerseys and banners saying, Temer, go away, and the police approached them, asked them to leave or just to throw their banners. So it's a very interesting situation. So all this criminalization, and I think the budget for security is just huge. Is they purchase all sorts of security equipment, all under, of course, the fear of terrorism. But behind the terrorism brand, they are criminalizing all these social movements, the organized one and the spontaneous one.
George, Lalitha would like to ask you a question.
Hi, George. I just want to have a look at another aspect of these games that always infuriated me, and I have always disengaged with it, mainly because here you have what they call an international competition, but they don't look at the fact that third world countries don't have the resources to spare to train athletes to then go and compete against first world nations who pour millions into training their athletes. And it's such a farce. The comparison is non-existent. And yet there's this pumped up, excitement about the very rich nations and very rich peoples having fun at the expense of poor people locally and internationally. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's the pure truth. Unfortunately, that's what is about elite sport. I mean, people love it. It's heaps of propaganda, and it's beautiful. But at the end of the day, that's the point. I mean, the Olympic Committee, the organizers, are distributing 500,000 of condoms in the Olympic Village. As we know, everywhere where there are young people, musical festivals, dance festivals, they'll have sex, and that's fine with me, no problems. But I don't know why we have to pay for it. That's my only question. So it's a big party, which public resources are involved, and not only public resources are involved, but thousands of people, like in Rio, were dislocated. So the party can go on, and of course it's a huge tragedy against human rights, and also it's a paradox because the Olympic Charter always talks about, and one of the its fundamentals of the Olympic Charter is about human dignity, but at the end of the day they don't support, and they are against human dignity because they cut all these human rights.
George, I want to go back to right at the beginning of our interview, and we're talking about an article you wrote in the, we'll put it on our website and in our Facebook page, the article that you wrote in The Conversation. You were talking about the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments, as you wrote about it, has to do with, as you've said, the whole city legacy, meaning that the, I presume that the city of Rio de Janeiro is ultimately going to have some kind of a legacy. The piece you wrote was back in December. It's about 8 months later. What's your thinking about the legacy now that's going to be left on the, in relation to the games and what's been going on?
Very controversial. We cannot. Legacies are much more than just the economic part. There is a cultural legacy, a social legacy, a historical legacy. So this will be an ongoing investigation. So there are cultural and historical legacies that we cannot deny. But for the forthcoming days and months and years, will be very tough for the population, because just before the games, maybe a month or 3 weeks prior to the games, the state government declared bankruptcy. They said they were bankrupted, they couldn't pay anything for the games, so because of this declaration, emergency state, they could borrow more money from the federal government because of the laws. So they are not paying for essential public services, hospitals. They are postponing public employees' wages. So it will be very, very tough. They will face. They are already facing a huge economic crisis, and this will be ongoing until something happens in terms of payment. But it will be very hard for the, of course, for the unprivileged people in Rio.
George, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I want to thank you very much for being with us early on this Saturday morning, and good watching of the Olympics.
Okay, for you too, my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye.